And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post podcast live from an undisclosed hotel conference room somewhere in New York City, where we are thrilled to be joined for the second time by Memphis Grizzlies point guard Mike Conley. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hanging in.
Good, good.
Congrats on the second kid.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's a whirlwind. I can tell you that.
I'm afraid of it. I live in fear of it. I can barely handle my own life, let alone the lives of two small children.
Yeah, it changes things. It changes. The second one does, for sure.
I introduced you as Mike Conley. When you were drafted, David Stern said Michael Conley. Mm-hmm. When did Michael give way to Mike? Do you want people to call you Michael still?
I don't know when Mike came out. You know, Michael has been my name forever. And in college, I guess the latter part of the year, just Mike came out. And I thought it would change when Mr. Stern said Michael. I was like, okay, they're going to call me Michael again. And now it's Mike for the rest of my career.
No one. There is never a Michael Conley anymore.
I know.
It's over.
It's done. And part, you know, they're starting to get rid of the junior at the end, you know, that, which I don't know where the junior came from before. I'm the second, technically, but the junior popped up out of nowhere.
I was actually thinking about that walking over here, being like, I'm going to introduce him as Mike Conley, and then I'll ask him about Michael. And I was like, wait, he used to be Mike Conley Jr.
Right.
That's not a thing anymore either.
No.
Crazy evolution of your name.
There you go.
Speaking of college, I was going to ask you this later, but you brought up college. You met your now wife in college.
Mm-hmm.
True or false, she did not know who you were when you met her.
Gosh. True, she did not know who I was.
College basketball star,
yeah.
Michael Conley Jr. or the second. She had no idea who you were.
No idea. We met each other at like a little hangout spot right outside of our dorm. And then a week later, I ran into her at the dang on water fountain. I was getting like some Powerade or something out of the little drink machine, and she was doing the same thing. I looked at her. I'm like, don't I know you? You know, and that's when we finally exchanged numbers, and you know, the rest is history.
Your first date was to Applebee's, correct?
It was Applebee's. I stole my buddy David Lighty's car, and because I didn't own one at the time, so I stole his car. You know, made it smell all good. You know, made it seem like I was doing big things.
I wanted to make fun of you for that. And then I remembered I dated a girl in grad school, and I was probably 22. Our first date was to the Olive Garden. I thought the Olive Garden was nice. A 22-year-old me, I was like, we're going to the Olive Garden.
No doubt.
It's a big night.
No doubt. Applebee's was big for us. So.
Okay. Let's talk about the Grizzlies. You played 12 games last season. The team was bad enough to pick number four. How, for you personally, I saw you a couple of times. I know how frustrated you were. Like, how bad was it? And when, I mean, because there was like times where you were maybe on the way to coming back. Like, what was the worst? What was the worst part of the season?
I think the worst part was being held in limbo for that time period of about a month where, you know, I'm working myself back into it. And I'm like, they're like, yeah, you can be back in 2 weeks, and then another 2 weeks pass, and like, you'll be back in another 2 weeks. You know, it's not improving, and just kind of getting hung out there. Like, you know, I'm ready to play. I feel like I can go. And then things just aren't working out. And it turned a little bit. I felt a little bit of more clarity when they said, hey, you're out. You know, you need to have surgery. This is the route we got to go. I could kind of have peace with that. And then just now deal with the struggles of the season as far as our team and just focus on that and try to be there for that. But it was tough.
How many surgeries have you had?
Two. And that was my first real, like something that, you know, part of my big tendon or anything like that. Other one was when I had the blowout fracture of my face.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to do that to fix me up all pretty.
I remember, obviously everyone remembers Face Mask Mike Conley, but I was reading an interview, or it might have been when you came on before. A couple years ago on this podcast, you said that you still had 2 years later some tingling sensation sometimes on the left side of your mm-hmm. face. Do you still?
Yeah.
That's
still
crazy.
To the day. It's crazy, man. It's like if I get a haircut or anything, like I have to shut my eye. It just like tickles and just kills me. But
wow,
it's weird.
Like, what about, like, if your kid's climbing all over you? Like, is it that daily? Like, it's a daily, several times a day thing.
Yeah, pretty much consistent. You know, if I just touch it with my finger, I can, you know, I
wow.
start to, like, close my eye, and I'm like, man, I don't like that.
CJ McCollum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He, like, McCollum. Ran into you or something?
He caught an elbow and inadvertent trying to steal the ball, doing what I do, you know, trying to get steals
wow.
and stuff.
Do you have as many steals this year as you used to? Have you stopped going for steals?
I don't gamble as much. I can tell you that. I used to gamble all the time. I try to be more solid per JB, bigger staff requests.
More solid, is that the terminology?
Yes.
More solid.
Solid.
All right. So the lowest was just the limbo. I don't even remember. Like, how exactly did you get hurt? Do you even know?
I can't remember. I mean, it's something that just like crept up, and you just one day like, man, my heel like is killing me. I can't put it in my sock. Like, I can't put my shoe on. I got to wear sandals and like stuff like that. And all of a sudden, it just, you know, you play games and you find a way through it. And when you walk out the game, you're literally limping, and you can't, you know, like I said, you can't put a sock on, and just dealt with that for a while, and just hoped that it got better, and it never did.
But you don't even know the origin. There was just a game you played, and all of a sudden your foot, your heel hurt.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it. I don't know if it was in a practice or when it triggered it or whatever, but it just was something that just, you know, you wake up with a sore knee or something, and you just find out that later on it's something bigger than what you expect.
Wow. All right, so you're watching the season spiral out of control. Is there a point in the winter or the spring or whenever where you worry, well, this is going to be the end of the Grizzlies, that they're going to trade Mark and we're going to go in a different direction? Were you worried about that?
Oh, yeah. Every thought went through my mind last year. I mean, I had thoughts of like, you know, well, this is like the time they're going to just rebuild. They're going to blow it up. They're going to get rid of Mark. They're going to try to get rid of me next, and then the following year, whatever it may happen. It just was so much uncertainty, you know, and I had never been in that situation before where I'm missing a full season, barely played any basketball, and to watch the team spiral, and have no control and just be on the outside looking in was terrifying to me because I was just in unfamiliar territory.
Was there a meeting or a conversation that reassured you? Maybe it was an exit meeting with the coaching staff, mm-hmm. that reassured you like, no, we're going to get a high pick and we're going to run this back.
Yeah, I think as soon as the season was kind of winding down, and I was recovering from surgery, they were reiterating to me just how important my off season is going to be, because we expect to not be this, you know, 21 team next season. We expect to be back in the playoffs. We expect to have Mark going full speed and have, you know, a good pick and all these things going forward. So it put more of an ease on me as far as like the direction that they were headed in, and but also just allow me to just focus on me and like say, hey, you know, if I get back, you know, 100%, we have a chance to be where we want to be because our team wants to be there.
I'm not gonna lie, I did not pick you guys to make the playoffs, and part of the reason I didn't was Mark's 34 or 33, something like 33, that.
33, 34, somewhere
around. You're not that old. You're younger
not
than
yet.
That. 30, 29?
31. Actually.
I thought the peak Marc Gasol, I don't know if we're ever going to see again. Mm-hmm. And you coming off the injury, I was like, I just don't know. And Mark looks, I mean, both of you look like it's just sort of last year just never happened. And,
right.
And Mark particularly looks like he turned the clock back 4 years. He looks great.
Right. Mark's been phenomenal, man. And I love to say it's because I came back and he just needed his buddy around. But
I don't think it hurts.
He's been great, man. We love playing together, and to see him happy again, just, I know last year was probably even tougher on him than it was on me. He had to deal with it and play with it, you know, on that court. So, but you know, it's great to see him doing well and our team doing well.
He does not hide his displeasure on the floor when something bad happens.
No,
so gesticulating, mouth agape.
You can see it all, man. You can tell when he's upset, for sure.
He's even, I've seen him, he really is Tim Duncan-esque in how aghast he gets when he doesn't agree with a call.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen him cross himself as if to say, in front of the Lord, referee, I did not do this. He's just aghast.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You can tell us when he's at his point. He don't want to get a tech. He's just trying to go off and be passive with the situation.
You still don't have one, right?
No, not yet. My boy Garrett Temple just got his first one last game.
Did he really?
So,
Garrett never got one before?
Garrett had never got one, and he was real hurt about it when he got in the locker room. So,
what did he do? I didn't see that game.
I don't even remember. He might have just, you know, flailed his arms or something at a call or something, but he was hot. You know, he was hot at it.
Have you ever been in the Grizzlies draft room, and when did you know they were going to pick Jaren Jackson?
I've never been in the draft room, but I've been involved just, you know, they keep me up to date on who they're looking at and what guys they think are, you know, going to have the team. And I knew they liked Jaren a lot. I think it all depended on who picked who up, you know, in the first three picks. And, you know, for whatever reason, somebody was available, they'd pick somebody else, you know, kind of thing. But Jaren, I think all along they had their heart set on that. And at the time, you didn't know much about Jaren because, you know, he was the one guy who's just like, he's got a lot of potential. And you heard about that. You know, his potential is potential. So you just didn't know, you know, how soon and how ready he'd be. And boy, is he, you know, kind of took us all by surprise and shown us what he can do.
Does that annoy you as a 31-year-old veteran when the front office is saying we're taking the youngest guy in the top 10? He's got a lot of potential. Do you know? So I'm serious. Do you want, like, I want to hear something about 4-year senior that comes in ready to play?
Right, right. Yeah, there's a balance there because you want to get guys that you can play now. You know, for me and Mark, you know, we're like, hey, our sense of urgency is like, you know, very high. It's right now, you know, we know we're not going to play until we're 40 years old. We got a few years to be great. So, to hear Jaren, you know, Jaren's going to be a guy we're looking at and knowing he's dang near not even 19 years old or whatever he was at the time. You know, you just, like I said, you just didn't know. You just don't know what to expect.
So I need you on this subject to help me tamp down my man crush on Jaren Jackson Jr. Because he's just central casting, tailor-made big man for me to be a fan of. Mm-hmm. Smart, plays both ends, long arms, moves. He's got a nice little feel, like moves at his own pace. Is there what am I missing? Tell me something bad about Jaren Jackson Jr.
He fouls too much.
Yeah, he does foul a lot.
He fouls too much. Yeah. That's it. And right now, that's all we can say negatively about him. He shot the ball great.
I can't believe he can shoot it this well with that little shot put thing he's got going on.
He really has a great feel for it. I mean, he knows when to shoot them. You know, he's confident in them. He's a lot better at penetrating, driving, handling the ball. Like, get him at the top of the 3-point line, he'll get to the rim and you can't stop him. And he finishes so well. So, we've been, you know, just so happy with him. And what
does he dress bad or something? Can you give me something?
He can be better. You know, he still dresses like he, you know, he came out of college. He's got style, but it's kind of like, you know, he still needs to, you know, kind of go up a notch. You know, he probably hate me for saying that, but no, he's I don't know.
He doesn't eat bad. He doesn't eat like McDonald's.
No, he's a good rook, man. He goes and gets us food when we need it. You know, he gets our towels and stuff for every game. He just, what can you say about him?
He gets you food. I guess that's what you have to do as a rookie.
Yeah.
You just say, go get me whatever.
Yeah, and he does it.
Get in your car. Like, if you have to drive somewhere, too bad.
Oh, he doesn't have a license. I forgot. That's one thing.
He doesn't have a license.
He doesn't have a car.
Okay.
So that's right. One thing he might need to get on.
I get, maybe he's one of these young people who just is like, cars? Who
right.
owns, is he one of those? Like, who owned cars? That's a dumb thing.
Just Uber and, you know, all that. He's probably one of those.
His floater is also like, it's a nice little break in case of emergency shot. Like, he can put it on the floor and hit a little floor. I'm dangerously a fan of his. He's really good.
There's no reason why you shouldn't be. I can tell you that. He's a man.
Do you ever watch Kyle Anderson move around and just think, whatever he's doing is not normal NBA basketball? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, when we first, got together and I saw him in the summertime, we were hooping a little bit and I saw how he was moving. Like, he just moves at such a different pace that, like, it works because it's so much slower and deliberate than somebody else's that he can literally stop and take two steps sideways and get to the rim because you're not used to somebody being able to do that. And it's just a unique way of playing, and it really helps us.
He had a game against Golden State last year where there was like a 3-minute stretch where Durant had no idea what to do with him. Like, he scored a couple times, he stole the ball from KD, and you could see KD being like, I don't understand. Like, I just can't compute how this guy moves. It's so funny.
Yeah, and ironically, he's like really, really a good defender. Like, he's like, can move and guard anybody, and his arms are really long too. That really helps everything. He's able to just, you know, tap the ball and get in deflections, and no matter how slow he looks or how deliberate it looks, he's moving and getting to his spots.
Yeah, he's good at the pickpocket it with one hand and like go get it with the other hand.
You know?
Just you'll just be dribbling. He'll take the ball.
Oh yeah, I stay away from him in practice. And I try to stay on the perimeter a little bit.
What are you guys? 12-7, 12-8,
12-8. Yeah.
Are you surprised, or did you think we can be a 50-win team again?
I wouldn't say. I don't think we're surprised. No, I think that we knew we had the ability if everybody did their part. If we knew we were, you know, if we stayed healthy and guys came out and played at a high level, yeah, we felt like we're going to be a team that's going to be in that, you know, 1-8 spot. You know, we're going to have a chance to playoffs again. And
you haven't even been that healthy.
Yeah, no. And
Michael just got back. Chandler Parsons is whatever is happening with Chandler is happening.
And Dylan's been out.
Dylan Brooks is out for a while now. That's right.
Omri was out for a little bit. Yeah. So, I mean, well, to piggyback on that, I think our depth was overlooked a little bit by a lot of people. You know, you look at our, you know, guys we added in, Shelvin Mack and Garrett Temple and obviously Omri, and you go down the list, Wayne Seldon having to play big minutes now for us. We've just had guys just step up who we always knew they could do it and have fit in just perfect.
I was not going to ask you about this because I assumed you would just wish never to talk about it again, but some people at the Grizzlies are like, no, ask him. He wants to talk about it. So maybe they're wrong. I don't know.
Right.
So it's their fault. Do you care about making the All-Star team still?
Oh, man. I say there's a part of me that really, really, really wants to be an All-Star, you know. And I think it would just do so much more for me, like closing a chapter in a book, you know, just ending that. But, you know, at the same time, there's also that part of me that understands I understand the whole deal. I understand the game. I understand how things work. I've been, you know, on a team that's been the number two seed at the time of the All-Star break, and we got one All-Star in when I was playing probably the best basketball I've played in my life. And then, you know, the next year I've been on teams where we were the seventh seed and I've averaged more points than I've ever averaged in my life. And there's been so many scenarios where I'm just not making it, you know. So this is now it's just like, man, I'm all about winning. I'm trying to get as many wins as we can get. And if it happens, it happens. I'll be thankful for it either way.
I'm glad that you admit you want it to happen, because I wasn't going to ask you because I just thought you were like, I'm tired of talking about it. I don't care anymore. But right. it would be nice. It's a nice thing.
Oh, yeah, it would be great, man. Like I said, I'd love to be able to go home and have my sons look at me and be like, you know, call me an all-star, and that'd be great.
I think we gotta make this happen, because there's been too many times where you have been as deserving as three other guys that make it and three other guys that don't make it. And just sort of by the coin flip, you would think one of those years,
right,
you get in. So I at this point, I'm ready to just put you in for the sake that it's the right thing to do.
Well, thank you.
However, you play in the wrong conference. If we're going to do this thing where we pick teams now, where the captains pick teams, I don't understand why the conferences should matter. I don't understand why we need 12 guys from the East and 12 guys from the West. And if, like, last year the year that there were, like, five injury replacements? There was.
Right.
Why do we have to do that by conference? If an East guy gets hurt, replace him with whoever.
Right. That would be a good way to get guys in who might deserve it. And if one conference does have more guys than the other, I mean, shouldn't matter.
Because the West is still better. Everyone is like, oh, the top of the East is really interesting. Yeah, you know what's not interesting? The bottom 10 teams in the East are, like, not super interesting. And the West, there are 14 teams right now that are legitimately trying to make the playoffs. Yeah. And the Suns.
Yes. There are. You look at the standings and you'll be, you know, 12-8 is great, but we're right, you know, we're a win away from being in the first and a loss away from being in 10th. So, I mean, it can happen quick.
I think I saw a stat today. I think the West is 68-45 against the East head-to-head so far this season. So the conference disparity. The Jazz are 14th, I think. The Jazz are 14th in the West.
And they're not a 14th overall type team. They're pretty good.
Dallas is over 500. Have you played Dallas yet?
We did. We played them last week.
What do you think of Doncic?
He's a real deal.
Yeah?
He's a real deal. I don't know how people were doubting his speed and things that wouldn't translate, and he's translated just great. I mean, his ability to score, his feel for the game is unbelievable. Being able to make plays, and I mean, at his height, it's tough to deal with.
Do you hate J.J. Barea?
J.J.'s, man, he's unique. I can tell you that. He's unique. You know, nobody really likes playing with somebody that can do all the things he can do, man, it's tough to deal with. But he's a fun guy to watch when you're not playing against him.
I can't believe every year they put together these benches, which is like Berea and Devin Harris is somehow mm-hmm. always involved. And like, who's ever around? Like, oh, old Dwight Powell, he's hurt. We'll put Salah Mejri in. Like, some center, you know, Maxi Kleba is blocking shots. And their bench is like plus 10
right.
every year. It's crazy.
Right. Well, they find a way. You know, Coach Carlisle is a great coach, and he has a great system over there and gets the most out of anybody he puts out there.
So I said this to you when we talked about your technical last time. I said, when you get it, you got to really get it.
I know.
And I think if and when you make the All-Star team, I think you got to go for the MVP. I think you just have to be like, I'm shooting 50 times.
Let everybody know from the jump, like, what I'm doing. I'm out there to get
like,
this
demand
MVP.
To start, and then, like, cause an internal rift if you don't start, and then just shoot every time.
I like it.
When's the last time you dunked?
Oh, man. Probably about a year ago in practice.
It's
been a while, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, but I can still get up there. I've been just kind of taking the slow.
If you make the All-Star game, you have to dunk.
I'm throwing it off the glass.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm throwing it off the glass, no doubt.
Can you can do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that would be fun.
For sure.
Have you been in like the skills competition and stuff before?
I haven't. I haven't done anything.
I either make the team or I'm taking vacation.
That's right. I'm either there or I'm not.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's long now. You can actually take a vacation.
Yeah, you can actually relax and recoup.
All right, so that's my stance on All-Star. I think you just got to go whole hog, dunk, get the MVP.
We're going to do that.
You guys went through some internal drama last year as well. David Fizdale was fired. You actually, I went back with you actually, before he was fired, said a lot of nice things about Fiz and said, you know, You gave him a lot of credit for sort of nudging you to shoot more and to take more control of the offense. Like, yeah, I'm good enough to shoot 18, 19 times a game, whatever it takes. You gave him a lot of credit for that. And I read also you apologized to him on FaceTime when he got fired, which was not necessary because all you did was get hurt.
Right.
When did you find out that was going to happen and what was your reaction to it?
I found out probably minutes before it hit like the social networks and stuff like that. I was at a park with my family. We were playing with my kids and got a phone call, obviously from, might have been Ed Stefanski at the time, or Chris Wallace, one of the two. And, they let me know what was going to happen. As soon as I found out, I called Coach and, just like I said, I apologized to him for whatever reason. You know, felt guilty about the whole situation and thanked him for what he, you know, helped with my game and what he did for our team in the year he was here. And then wished him the best. I knew and we kind of laughed afterwards because I was like, you're going to be coaching real soon anyway. So, you know, I'm going to be seeing you on the sideline because he's that kind of guy. And luckily he got that job.
Yeah, the Knicks also pay a lot more than the Grizzlies. So it worked out all right for him.
He did.
Did you know that there was, let's say, tension between him and Mark?
I mean, it was at the beginning, it was no different than like any player coach tension. You know, like if a coach yells at you, your natural instinct is to say something back or, you know, kind of be defensive. I'm like, well, I actually did, you know, whatever it may be. And that was normal. And obviously I think theirs, got to certain levels where, you know, they're both kind of the same person in the sense that they demand such a high, you know, level of accountability upon each other. And so like at some points they would clash. But other than that, man, you know, Mark went out there and he played, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. Coach went out there and coached and that's how it was.
Did you ever try to talk to Mark and be like, can we calm down a little bit and give him a chance?
Yeah, you know, I think it was the same. It was both ways. It was like, you know, Coach, man, you know, lay off of him, and you know, y'all are good. You'll be all right. You know, da da da. And Mark the same way. Like, you know, we just got to keep moving forward. It's about these guys in this locker room. And Coach is a great coach, and he's doing a great job. And he was like, yeah, I know. We got to figure it out. And we tried. And I guess at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough.
It's just Lionel Hollins used to say much worse things to me than whatever is going on here. You know.
Oh yeah, Lionel was. Oof. hope he's not listening right now. He said some things to me, man, I'll never repeat.
I think he saved his worst for Hamed Haddadi. That was the legend where he would just hammer the poor guy.
Oh man, Hamed, Gravis, Vasquez.
Really?
At the time. My God, he would get on Gravis so much.
For what?
I don't know. He just had his guys. He would just go after for a year, and then once you proved you could, you know, withstand it, you were like his best friend.
Poor Hamed Haddadi. He's put wherever he is. He's putting up good per 36 minute numbers right now. If he's still playing,
pretty
somewhere.
Sure.
A couple of quick Grizzlies, Mike Conley history ones, and then we'll let you go. Chris Wallace was telling me, you're much criticized at the time, first contract extension, 5 years, $40 million, that you had to be called down from your hotel room in L.A. to, like, fax that in, sign and fax it in with, like, a minute to go before the deadline. Is that true?
Very true. Yes, I tell people that story all the time. We were in the W Hotel in Westwood.
I never heard this somehow.
Yeah, this is real, man. I'm sitting in my room and, like, literally, obviously the time difference is a little, a couple hours different, but get called down at, like, 8:55 or whatever it is, 7:55, something like that. And they're like, you have to go downstairs and you gotta sign this stuff and fax it. You gotta get it. You gotta fax it. I'm just like, okay. And I just, like, run down the steps. And I'm literally, there's like two people in line in front of me, and I'm thinking, like,
for the fax machine?
The fax machine's behind the front desk. So, okay. Like, people are getting their keys or doing whatever they gotta do.
You're
so,
behind the dopes that are like asking, like, where's the gym?
Yeah.
Okay, get out of the way.
Can you show me where I can go to get some food, all that stuff? And I'm just like just sweating, like, these people gotta move. They gotta move. Like, I there's no way I can just let this happen. So then I kind of creep my way up and like, I need to get this fax right now, like right now. And Chris is on the phone and he's like, we still haven't got it yet. And the time's running down. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then popped in like literally a minute before the deadline.
It's crazy that, like, cause then you could get hurt. Like, there's a million things that can happen.
Right.
You can't just say, like, oh, we'll just sign it in the summer. Same deal.
Right.
And I want to say that the NBA should be like, all right, if you're in line at the stupid hotel desk, like, this counts. If it's right. If it's 12:02, then people will exploit that and be like, oh, sure. We just didn't have cell reception and blah, blah, blah. I guess they have to have a black and white.
They do. They got to have a, stop time. And I think we just might have just pushed it a little too close.
Someone, I don't remember who it was. I was just asking about stuff I should ask Mike. And someone was like, one of my favorite games or memories of Mike was 2010 against the Cavs, and I'm gonna leave it there. Do you remember what he's talking about?
2010 against the Cavs.
LeBron Cavs.
I think Shaq was on that team, maybe.
Yes.
I would assume that I made a layup at the end of the game.
Yes.
At home.
In overtime. Over Shaq.
Yeah, I remember that like yesterday.
Why do you think that was special to this person? Or is it special to you?
Well, it's definitely special to me. And, you talk about the people who we just named are all, I beat those guys, that game. That was my first real big game doing anything big like that. And I think it was big because of who I had on my team. You had Rudy. You had all these other guys who are the guys who are supposed to take the shot at the end of the game. And for me, it's like, I'm just a point guard. I'm supposed to get the
Lionel
ball.
Lionel called the play for you.
He called the play, and it was a pick and roll, and they ended up kind of switching it at the end. I hesitated, like I was going to shoot the elbow jumper, and got him to jump a little bit and finish, like, basically with one, one hand, right handed layup, and just the crowd went crazy. And it was like my first, like I said, my first real big moment, against a big team, and we were a team that was fighting to get there, and it was special.
Cause the career started slow. For a number four pick, it started slow.
Yeah.
And that I think was the point this person was making, is that, Lionel was big and, like, Mike is good and I'm going to put Mike in positions to succeed. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was a big, like, he called that play for you. That was a big moment.
It was. And from then on, like, I felt like I can do anything. I can do it. Lionel's giving me this, the keys and allowing me to do things now. And, before that, it was just, we didn't know, with so many different guys in and out of Memphis. We had obviously Kyle there. We had Damon was there my rookie year, Stoudemire, and OJ was drafted to be a point guard. So it was just a lot of uncertainty, and I finally kind of found my feet.
And it was for your first year. Mike Iveroni was the coach. Like, I think you said this in an interview somewhere, like, there were home games where he wasn't playing you. because he was like, the fans are going to get on this guy as like the number four pick and a bust. Is that true?
Yeah, I didn't play at home until January, my rookie year.
That's nuts. So and you were healthy the whole time?
I was healthy, so I didn't play in any home games and just was sitting on the bench. And then we go play a back-to-back on the road, and I'd play 20 minutes, you know. So it was,
did he tell you that was why?
No. He just told me I'm not going to play you at home, you know, for the time being and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, all right. I'll do whatever.
You just said, all right.
Yeah, I'll do whatever.
You're a good man.
I said, no ego,
this is
man.
A little strange. I played 18 minutes in Milwaukee the other night. Why am I not playing in here?
Definitely strange. But I'm a rookie, too, so I'm like, maybe this is what they do. You know, I don't know. Maybe this is how teams are built up, how they treat guys. So I just took it like I was supposed to.
All right, you got to go do some other stuff and then have a dinner in New York. Mike Jr., whatever we're going to call you. It's always good to see you, and it's great to see you healthy. It's great to see the Grizz exceeding expectations. You guys are just, it's fun to go against. Do you guys like that you go against the grain? Like,
I do.
This hot, everyone's flying around, and you guys are like, I'm going to run one pick and roll. Hey, it didn't get me anything. Let's do it again. Okay, there's a mismatch. Like, do you guys take pride in that?
We do, man. It's fun. You know, everybody, you know, wants to jump on the bandwagon, which, you know, I even want to jump and shoot 43s a game, but sometimes it's something about like coming into Memphis or playing the Grizzlies. You know that it's going to be a dogfight. You know that we're going to be physical. You know we're going to take our time and try to pick you apart that way. So it's pretty cool.
I think it's fun to watch. Stylistic diversity is good for the NBA. We
right.
can't have everyone playing like the Rockets. It wouldn't be interesting.
Right, right, right.
All right, Mike, keep it up. And if we get, you know, another 20 games of this, I'm going to start put Mike Conley in the freaking All-Star game because he's going to dunk the campaign. So
please, we'll make sure of that.
Mike Conley, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.